the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John and John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. And if you are able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? John chapter 11. Our text for this morning is found in verses 38 through 44, but I want to read to you the previous verses to make sure you understand the context in which Jesus said these words. John chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, how he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, the twin, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Mary and Martha met him. or where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where she was, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Which have ye laid him? Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" And then our text, and Jesus therefore again groaning in himself to the grave, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh. He hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, a thankful Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for this time that we have worshiped together already. The good songs that have helped to prepare our heart to listen intently to your word. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to apply this word to our heart. And that, Lord, we do all things for your glory and honor. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. A thankful Jesus. Gerda Weismann was one of the among thousands of prisoners that were held in Nazi's Germany's death camps during World War II. And she tells of how she and her fellow prisoners were forced to stand for hours on end, on the verge of collapsing from starvation and fatigue. But on one particular day, they noticed that in the corner of their gray, dull, lifeless prison, a small, beautiful flower managed to break through the concrete. She said that the thousands of women in that camp took the greatest care of that little beautiful flower. Someone asked Gerda, "Why would you do that? Why would these thousands of women who are really imprisoned, awaiting their death, take care of a little flower?" And she said this, "It was the only spot of beauty in our ugly and deadly world, and we were thankful for it." Oh, listen, beloved, what a lesson for us today. That though life may be at times, may be filled with nothing but darkness, our life at times may be filled with nothing but darkness and depression and death. Listen, there is always, inevitably, a bloom of something in your life for which you can be thankful for. And here in John chapter 11, the village of Bethany was still reeling from the death of Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. Lazarus was a well-known resident of the town of Bethany. But by the time Jesus arrives, the funeral was over. A dark cloud of mourning is still hung over the place. The wound of this loss of Lazarus was still very fresh. But when Jesus finally arrived, he stood in front of the grave of Lazarus. And he said something that probably had not been spoken since Lazarus has died. In verse 41, Jesus said these words, "Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you." Now listen, I have preached many, many funerals in my years of being in the ministry. But I've never started a funeral by praying to the Lord, "Father, I thank you." But here in the presence of the death of a very much loved resident of Bethany, Jesus here offers a prayer of thanks. Now, if the deceased here had the character of a Jesse James, Jesus might have got a few amens when he said, "Father, we thank thee," right? But here was a person that was well loved. Jesus loved him. The Jews loved him. His sisters loved him. But in this passage, our Lord teaches us how we can obey the command of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul says, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. And so we learn from the thankful heart of Jesus that giving thanks is not something we do when there is only an absence of heartache and trouble. Now listen, giving thanks is something we do in spite of our heartache. Giving thanks is something that we do in spite of our trouble. So I want you to notice with me some truths that Jesus teaches us about how we can give thanks even in the most difficult circumstances of life. Notice, first of all, he teaches us in this text about the troubles that diminish our thankfulness. The troubles that diminish our thankfulness. As if the death of Lazarus was not enough. In the context of our Lord's Thanksgiving prayer, there are all sorts of factors that could have resisted and removed his thankfulness unto the Father. I think about all around us, maybe here even this morning. There are elements, there are experiences that if we allow them, they will rob us of our gratitude and keep us from being thankful. Now, what are some things that could possibly diminish the thankfulness of your heart? Well, first of all, thankfulness could be threatened by the feelings that distress you. Feelings that distress you. There's some interesting language that's used to describe the emotional state of Jesus after he arrived in Bethany. We look at verse 33. It says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." And then verse 38, we read, "Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave." Now you notice that phrase, groaning in himself. The word translated groaning is a word that speaks of being deeply agitated by something, even to the point of being angry. And then verse 33, the word troubled speaks of stirring or agitating the waters. And so the picture here is of Jesus who is being emotionally stirred by the situation. It shows us here very plainly, it shows us of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Not only was he the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. It shows that the Lord was a man who understood sorrow. He understood grief. He understood the emotions that we understand so well today. Isaiah the prophet said this of Jesus. He was a man of sorrows. He was a man who was acquainted with grief. And so, is it not true, beloved, that when you are stirred up over a certain situation, if you are agitated over a certain circumstance, that you are less likely to think about being thankful? How many of y'all understand that? Listen, normally that is the furthest thing from our mind. When we're going through a circumstance where we're being agitated by the circumstances in our life, the furthest thing from our mind is to give thanks. And so many times, beloved, the feelings that distress you can diminish your thankfulness. But also, your friends that disappoint you can diminish your thankfulness. You see, when Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, two of his dearest friends, Mary and Martha, met him with a less and encouraging word. In verse 21 and verse 32, they both in turn said the same thing. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would still be alive. Now listen, that must have hurt deeply. That had to hurt. Because essentially these two sisters laid the blame for their brother's death at the very feet of Jesus. Lord, it's your fault that he's dead. If you'd have come sooner, he'd still be alive. Oh, listen, what a disappointment that must have been to the heart of Jesus. No wonder he was groaning in his spirit. No wonder he was troubled in his spirit. Maybe you've experienced this. Of how painful it is when our friends, those whom love us, turn on us and act in ways that absolutely break our heart. How hurtful it is when those you love disappoint you. Oh, listen, if you've ever experienced such things, you know how difficult it is in that situation to give a prayer of thanks. Oh, listen, feelings that can distress you, friends that disappoint you, but something else that can rob our thankfulness is knowing the fact that the foes who will discredit you, as if Mary and Martha's hurtful words and unbelieving words were not enough, the unbelieving Jews chimed in and said in verse 37, some of them said in verse 37, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? Oh, listen, in spite of everything that they have seen, even these unbelieving Jews have witnessed the very miracles of Christ. They have witnessed him do some great and mighty things, miraculous things. There were still those who wanted to try to discredit him. And seized upon any perceived opportunity to do so. And that's what they did. Hey, listen, how many of you know that when your enemies are assaulting your character and attacking your credibility, it is much more easier to be vengeful than it is to be thankful? Yet we find Jesus in the midst of all these troubles. What is he doing? He's uttering a prayer of thanksgiving to God. We see that his gratitude, my dear friends, was not diminished by his circumstances. An old preacher of yesteryear by the name of Tom Malone once asked a fella, he said, how are you getting along? And the preacher said, well, I'm getting along pretty good under the circumstances. And Dr. Malone quickly asked, what are you doing under there? Hey, listen, though we can often get under our circumstances, here Jesus reminds us that we should never get so far down that we cannot be thankful. Listen, I don't care what you're going through this morning, you can utter a prayer of thanksgiving. Amen? You can give a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. So not only the troubles that diminish our thankfulness, but notice secondly, the truth that demands our thankfulness. The truth that demands our thankfulness. For those of you who know the Lord, there are certain unchanging, there are certain unfailing truths that will always call for thankfulness in our lives. Listen, we notice here that Jesus did not thank his sisters, or those sisters. Jesus did not thank his critics. He did, however, thank his Heavenly Father. And in doing this, he reminds us the truth of who God is. That we will always, just knowing who God is and the truth of his character that we know from the Word of God, just knowing that alone will always be a sufficient reason to give thanks unto him. And notice a couple of aspects of this truth that demands our thankfulness. Notice, first of all, that regardless of our circumstances, we can be thankful for the relationship we have with the Father. If you cannot think of anything else, you can be thankful for the relationship that you have with the Father. We see this in verse 41. Jesus said, "Father, I thank thee." I thank you. Jesus referred to the God of heavens, as his Father. But this relationship, beloved, was not limited only to Jesus. Listen, we too can call God our Father. If you've been saved by the good grace of God, we can call God our Father. As a matter of fact, if you remember in the book of Matthew, the disciples were asking Jesus, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus did just that. And the first thing he said was this: "When you pray, pray this. Father," he said this, "our Father, which art in heaven." So listen, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have been born again by his grace, the Bible says you have become a son or a daughter of God. We can be thankful for that. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us this: "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." Listen, you have the unique privilege this morning, if you have been saved, of calling the Creator of this cosmos your Father. How do we do that? Through the adoption that took place at your salvation. Listen, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, you can call him our God, Abba, Father. Oh, listen, we can thank him for the relationship we have with him as our Father. You know, I'm thankful this morning that the Lord has given me a wonderful earthly Father. A earthly Father that loves his family. A Father who loves his Lord. There may be some here this morning that may not be able to say that. Maybe you don't know your dad. Listen, if that be the case, you can always be thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Regardless of what is going on around us, we can always be thankful that one day we heard about a Father who loved us, and we're thankful for the relationship we have with the Heavenly Father. Hey, listen, our relationship with God demands our thankfulness, no matter what else may be true in our lives. Notice not only we should be thankful for the relationship we have with the Father, but also because the resource we have in our Father. Listen, that day at the Bethany Cemetery, Jesus was surrounded by skeptics. He was surrounded by critics. But even worse than that, he was surrounded by those who did love him. He was surrounded by his own friends, but they had lost faith in him. No one seemed to think that he could do anything for this particular situation. And yet Jesus, even in that horrible situation, Jesus could still lift up his eyes to heaven and boldly say, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Hey, listen, when it seems that there is no one to trust and nowhere to turn, we can be thankful that we have an unfailing resource with our Father. Listen, he is never too busy to talk. He is never too tired to listen to us. He's never too distant to hear us. When no one else is available, he is ever more dependable. You'll never have to stand in line for an appointment. He has no waiting room. He takes no holidays. Listen, he is an inexhaustible resource for those who put their trust in him. Have you put your trust in him today? Do you understand that it would be easier for you to try to empty the ocean with a straw than to empty your Father of his goodness and his mercy? He is a resource for which we must ever be thankful, even in horrible circumstances. Now notice the third truth that Jesus teaches us in this text about being thankful even in a difficult situation. Not only do we see that the troubles that diminish our thankfulness, not only do we see the truth that demands our thankfulness, but notice also and lastly the trust that develops our thankfulness. As I mentioned in the introduction, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, we find a very specific command regarding the will of God for our lives. There Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Beloved, in every situation we're to give thanks. Those good situations, those bad situations, those pleasing situations, those painful situations, those blessings, those burdens, all of those things. Listen, it is God's will in your life, for your life, to give thanks unto him for those things. Now the question is this, how do we do this? You say, "Brother Wade, that's easy preaching, but that's hard living." That's true, isn't it? Easy to say, but it's harder to do. But how can we develop the grace of gratitude even in the most difficult of life's days? Well, again, I think Jesus points us to this truth in John chapter 11. This kind of unconditional gratitude comes from a deep-seated trust in God. Notice in the prayer of our Lord in verse 41, notice first of all that this trust is a trust in the promise of God's Word. It is a trust in the promise of God's Word. Here Jesus lifts up his eyes above the skeptical stares of those who are around him, and he prays, "Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me." You say, "Brother Wade, sure, he prayed like that. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. I cannot pray with that kind of confidence." You can pray with that kind of confidence if you have the trust in the promises of God's Word. If you trust God's Word, you can. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 7. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." And then 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15 assures us that if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so you too can pray with this grateful confidence, regardless of the situation around you, when you trust in the promise that God hears and answers your prayers. Oh, listen, there are a few people in my life whom I deeply, deeply appreciate simply because I know that if I ever need them, whether it be night or day, they will be there for me. I may never need to call them, but just knowing that I can call them makes me appreciate them even more. Friend, listen, you can develop an unconditional appreciation for God by trusting in the promise of His response. Notice something else about this trust that develops thanks. Notice also trust in the prospect of God's work. Trust in the prospect of God's work. And we don't need to miss this, but while Jesus is thanking the Lord, He said, "Father, I thank Thee." Don't miss the fact that Lazarus at this point is still dead. Now, he will not be for long, but at the moment this prayer of thanks is offered, Lazarus' body is still cold and lifeless. But here we see Jesus is thanking God even before his prayer has actually been answered. Listen to me this morning. It may be that right now you don't seem to have very much for which to be thankful for. You may look around your circumstances and you may look at your trials and see nothing but deadness and coldness in your life. But Jesus teaches us in this text to thank God anyway. Being grateful for the prospect of what He is going to do. Oh, for instance, your family may not all be saved this Thanksgiving. But you can thank Him. But you can thank God that He saves to the uttermost. Amen? He saves to the uttermost all those who will believe. And you can thank Him for the hope of the gospel and how it is the power unto salvation. Or maybe your needs may not have all been met as you come to this season of Thanksgiving, but you can be thankful nonetheless, believing and looking forward to the day when God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. So look at our great example. Even in this situation, our Lord Jesus Christ, we can thank God already, trusting in the prospect of the work He's going to do. We may not have seen Lazarus get up yet, but we can still thank God in advance for what He's going to do. Oh, friend, listen, the death of Lazarus was a very tragic scene. Mary and Martha and the mourners could not only see the reasons, they could only see the reasons of grief. They could not see anything of gratitude. When Jesus had them move the stone from the tomb, listen, not even the sting of death was enough to overcome His thankfulness to His Father. So I say all that to say this, that whatever heartache, whatever hardship threatens to overshadow your Thanksgiving, I pray that you will be reminded by our precious Savior that you can be thankful even when there is hardship, even when there is heartache in your life, you can still be thankful. You can still lift up your eyes to the Father and thank Him regardless of what is going on around you. Oh, I'm thankful that we have a thankful Jesus. He is our supreme example. Let's pray together. Our great and kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for Your Word. And Father, we gratefully acknowledge that every good and perfect gift we have ever received is from You. And Father, we confess today that we do not deserve any good thing at all from You. So we can only stand in humble gratitude that You have given us the most precious gift, the gift of salvation through Your Son, Jesus. And Father, as we think about all the blessings, all the gifts, the good gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, human language does not contain the words sufficient to express our thankfulness for the salvation that you have provided. And Father, when we think about your grace, when we think about your mercy that you bestowed on us, and Father, it causes us to love you more. And it causes us to have a greater desire to be a doer of your word. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the promises that we've looked at this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the many promises that we stand upon that your scripture gives to us. And Father, we lean on them in times of need, in times of sorrow, humbly acknowledging your faithfulness with a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord, you've been so good to us. Father, I pray that you bless this message. And Lord, may our hearts be hearts that are just absolutely saturated and permeated with gratitude toward you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to the lost and